Turning now to Nicola, our reading of Margaret Cheney's Tesla, Man Out of Time. And as always, I ask folks to consider what the global statesmen of Nicola's day would think and do when they discovered that Nikola Tesla had not only invented a means for the wireless transmission of electricity, which would mean free electricity for all, but also that he had invented an electromagnetic force weapon that destroys, harms, creates misery invisibly. Consider what the power guys of today would do, and you know what they did. Continuing with chapter 16 and concluding chapter 16, ridiculed, condemned, and combated. And we're going to learn that she omitted that last word, suppressed. That is a big one for all those that we need to return truth to our global society, and to create a global society. Quote, Tesla, in order to maintain his fashionable mode of life at the Waldorf through the years, had given two mortgages on Wardenclyffe to the hotel's proprietor, George C. Bolt. They secured bills of about $20,000. He had asked that the mortgages not be recorded, fearing damage to his financial credibility. When in 1915 he was at last unable to make any payments at all, however, he signed the Wardenclyffe deed over to Waldorf Astoria Incorporated. The hotel corporation tried to convert its strange security into cash, but no one in those days knew what to do with the ruins of a world broadcasting center. The War Department was approached for ideas, but nothing came of it. Next, it was considered as a site for a pickle factory. Tesla must have wept when he heard this, but nothing caught on. And in 1917, rumors began to circulate, and I comment, this is Power's notion of efficiency. Make your underhanded, hideously callous scheming do double duty, and even triple if you can so arrange things. Continuing, rumors began to circulate, and this is again 1917, that German spies were holed up in the magnificent tower, spying upon Allied shipping and radioing signals to U-boats. On July 4th, 1917, an explosion of dynamite was discharged inside the tower. Newspapers and even the Literary Digest reported that it had been blown up by the U.S. government to halt espionage. Tesla denied the rumor. In fact, the tower was destroyed under a salvage contract between the owners and the Smiley Steel Company of New York, but the inventor did not wish to disclose the real owners, and it was destroyed only in an effort to realize a few dollars from scrap. My comment, we have put our lives, our earth, into the hands of stunted souls. People we can only think of as evil, though Alice has explained what happened to them as infants to make them so. Continuing. The tower proved to be more strongly built than its destroyers guessed. They had to keep blasting away as if it were rooted to the spot by some mysterious force. On the ensuing Labor Day, it collapsed, dynamite having triumphed at last over the merely celestial. It brought the corporation $1,750 above salvage costs. A junk man noticed some of Tesla's notes blowing down the street. I didn't exactly cry when I saw my place after so long an interval, the inventor wrote to Scherf, but I came very close. Marconi, with Karl Braun of Germany, won the Nobel Prize in Physics in 1909 for their, quote, separate but parallel development of the wireless telegraph, unquote. Never for the rest of his life would Tesla give up on his concepts of power transmission and broadcasting. It was not a dream, he declared, but a simple feat of scientific electrical engineering, only expensive. Blind, faint-hearted, doubting world. Humanity, he wrote, was not yet sufficiently advanced. Humanity, he wrote, was not yet sufficiently advanced to be willingly led by the discoverer's keen, searching sense. And I comment, truth eventually outs duplicity, and the truth of what was done to Nikola will be established fully once we are free. Power has relentlessly, in the last two centuries, made our separation from each other, we, the global peoples, its obsessive focus. Were this not so, Nikola would know that it is not we who were not ready for his miraculous gifts, but power in its covetousness, in its lust to be perceived as deities. Continuing with Nikola Tesla, this is a quote from Nikola. But perhaps it was better, quote, in this present world of ours, that a revolutionary idea or invention, instead of being helped and patted, be hampered and ill-treated in its adolescence by want of means, by selfish interest, pedantry, stupidity, and ignorance. That it be attacked and stifled, that it pass through bitter trials and tribulations, condemned, combated, suppressed, only to emerge all the more powerfully, all the more triumphantly from the struggle. Nikola Tesla wrote on July 13, 1913, to J.P. Morgan, archived in the Library of Congress. Next, returning to Margaret, next to Tesla and society, the greatest loser when Wardenclyffe fell was Morgan. And I comment, not so much, Margaret. Continuing, there can be little question that he could have written his own ticket for an early lead in radio broadcasting with a station operating on several adjacent frequency channels, transmitting in multiplex mode, and thereby far surpassing the performance of the slow, single-channel transatlantic cable. And I'm commenting. The power guys playing for the higher stakes of power play the long game. But finally, we've arrived at the end game. Time for truth to finally stretch and walk freely again, and we with her. Continuing and concluding the chapter. Among the many who would use Tesla's patents in the development of commercial radio, legally or illegally, one firm would soon be sending messages a distance of 9,000 miles. The clarity of Tesla's understanding of radio should not be confused with his efforts to transmit electricity wirelessly. He did not confuse them. And I had to comment, I disagree on the degree of his understanding. And that concludes chapter 16, Ridiculed, Condemned, Combated. Next week, we will start chapter 17, The Great Radio Controversy, in Margaret Cheney's Tesla, Man Out of Time.